Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's the only way for us to find peace and happiness through our Lord and Savior Jesus. And I'm really thankful that we heard that right from the get-go this morning when we read there in Romans. And I think Brother Aaron shared some of the same things. And we understand and know that, and that's why we're here today, to learn more about him. Thankful for this opportunity to be here and to share the truth of the Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for truth. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you make it so clear, and you are so real, and you're the one and only way. We thank you for that and ask, Lord, that you would help us as we go through life to take those promises that we see here today and to acknowledge them, acknowledge you, and live the way you would have us to. I pray your blessing upon our time here. May we understand clearer and clearer what you have for us as we go through life and apply it and live it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know people or have been in situations where people have looked to the Old Testament law, the feasts, the practices, to bring them to a type of salvation? I know some of us have been there, some of us have seen that, and there are people today that still do that. They meet together and they regularly go through all of the feasts and the different things that's talked about in the law to make them feel like they're doing something. They are not alone. There's many people that do things and set up their own rules and guidelines so they can keep them, so they feel like they're doing something. And we have to be very careful of that. This morning, the title of the message is Grace Alone. It's so easy to bring our ideas and our thoughts into something that we understand or that we can see or feel so that we think we're doing something to earn this salvation that is so freely given. I'd like to go to Galatians chapter 4. And look at some of the cautions that Paul is warning about and that we so easily find ourselves in a trap. And the reminders of who we are in Christ. Galatians chapter 4, I'd like to read the first 7 verses. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. These verses here, we'll talk here, look at a child versus a slave or a servant. Even though a child might be an heir of great things or a great estate, As long as he is a minor, he's not permitted to enjoy or to have or to receive the exercise, to exercise any freedom in using his inheritance. He's really no better than the servant or the slave. Spencer, could you come up here for a moment? Just come right on up here. What if today you received everything that your dad had? You were the only child, and you got everything you had. It was given to you today. The automobiles, the house, and it was just all given to you. And you would be on your own, and you were there. What would you do?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably not. You probably wouldn't know what to do. Does it sound a little ridiculous? It is. But don't worry, you're a whole lot more important than that. That stuff is just stuff. And you're a lot more important than that stuff. The point is that even though you would be the heir of it all, no one would think of doing that with an 8-year-old child. Are you 8? Yeah, that's what I thought. As a minor, you just would not be permitted to have all that stuff, nor would you know how to deal with it. If your dad had a slave or a servant, you would be no better off as a child than the servant. There would be a time appointed by your dad or guardians as to when you would get all the things. So they would point a time when they realized that you were old enough to make right decisions and to handle all that stuff. You can have a seat. Thank you. Paul here is comparing the Old Testament dispensation to a child. It was an age of bondage compared to the liberty and the light that we receive under the gospel today. We have to consider what we have today. We're living in a time of grace, and it is this grace alone that frees us from the bondage of the law. Because of this grace that we can live and move and have our being. Today, we see the government likes to give out money freely. Just give it out. What happens? We all know what happens. Eventually, money becomes worthless. Because after a while, you get so much of something, and there's so much of that distributed around the country, everybody has it, and it's just not really worth anything anymore. It's just paper floating out there. So it just makes it really cheap. Grace is free, and there's lots of it, and it does not run out, and it stays very, very valuable. The only way that grace becomes cheap and not real is when I say, okay, I came to Jesus, now I'm a Christian, now I can do what I want. That is not real grace. That is a counterfeit. That really, when you think about that, it's selfishness. I can do what I want instead of now I'm free to do what God wants. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Here we see that true grace does not live in sin. Sin is dead in us. How does that happen? God makes it that way when we give our hearts to him. This does not mean that we will not make mistakes. When we make mistakes, what do we do with those mistakes? Do we fertilize it? Do we water it? Do we think on it? Do we covet it? Do we enjoy it? That will make it grow. So that's what sin does when we don't turn away from it. Many of us here have accepted Jesus into our hearts. Many of us are His. I don't think anybody here has been perfect since you made that decision for Jesus. But what do you do with that thing that you struggle with? Do you spend time thinking about it? Do you spend time exercising it? What do you do with it? Or do you flee it? Do you run to Jesus, who is the one that can help and help us have victory? We can find immediate and continual forgiveness if we live and walk in the Spirit as God chooses or wants us to walk. This is what is being referred to here in verse 4 and 5. The Jews were in bondage under the law, but God was making preparation for that bondage to be taken away through Jesus. That's what was coming. He was preparing that. The phrase, when the fullness of time had come, is a reference to the time appointed in the mind of God for the Messiah to appear here on earth. Jesus came to redeem those under the law. They were stuck. They were in bondage. The redemptive work of Jesus makes us the Son of God. Not merely like minor children, like we talked about earlier. He came that we might receive the adoption as sons. The word adoption refers to God's welcome of the converted person into His family as one of His. We here at Beacon of Light are pretty familiar with adoption. There's at least three that I can think of. Maybe, I hope I didn't overlook any, that have been adopted here as sons. When you think about the adoption, what did Brian, Cameron, or Zachary do to be adopted? They couldn't really do anything. They were adopted, and they didn't play a real important part of that, except that they were, and they needed a home, and they were adopted. We cannot do anything to be adopted into Christ's family, except realize that without Christ, we are nothing. We have to understand that and know that. If we don't know that, we can't really understand what that grace is. We have to know that we need a Savior. We have to know that we need help. And then we have to repent and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, who did the work to make it possible for us to have salvation. In verses 6 and 7, because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. First, God sent His Son into the world. Then He sent His Spirit into our hearts. The Christian becomes an adult son or an heir. One who has been freed from the bondage of the law and experienced the privileges of adulthood will not regress back to the law, or should not. We know there's people that do. Part of it is they get bored and they want to experience something else. Part of it is, I think, many times they don't completely understand what they have been freed from. They don't completely understand what it is that like I'd said earlier, they may not completely understand how much they need a Savior. Understanding and believing is freedom from the law is so foundational to our salvation and living in the peace that God wants for His children. If we truly understand that grace, what a peace we can have. It doesn't matter if we're targeted day after day with all kinds of things from this world. The peace that we can experience when we understand and know what Jesus did for us. It's believing, like Brother Aaron was talking about. Too often, it goes on feelings, and that's why we end up looking for something to make us feel like we did something. Feelings will let you down. Whatever you do, it will let you down. Whatever you do for salvation, if you're doing it specifically thinking that you are meriting your salvation. We give our hearts to Him, and we are His regardless of our feelings. That is where Satan so often trips us up, because we think we don't feel like we are one of God's children. I don't see anywhere in the Word where it says, you are God's children if you feel like you're His children. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's truth. That's why this is called faith, because we believe that God meant what He said. Could it be that the lack of faith is partly what causes us to turn back to try to do things to earn our salvation? How easy it is to set up our rules, and there's many places out there where you can go, and they set up rules. If you do this, you do this, you do this, then you can be part of us, or part of the body. We have to be very careful about that. That brings us on to verse 8 to 20. I'm going to read that now. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ, be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Paul was extremely concerned here about what was happening to the Christians, after they knew and were known of God. If there's any question about Christians backsliding, here is another good reason to know that it can happen. It seems so easy for the Christians to fall away from their first love. It's so easy for us to fall away from our first love. Remember what happens to Christians, or what happened to the Christians there at Ephesus in Revelation. Revelation 2, 4 and 5 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." So, we have people that came to him, they lost their first love, and he says, what do they need to do? They need to repent. It's not too late today. If we are walking with him, and we realize we're not where we should be, we realize we're stumbling in some area or another, it's not too late to repent. When Paul first came to the Galatians, the people embraced him warmly and had rejected the Jewish way of seeking a right relationship with God. Now it's Paul's hope that the Christians in the churches in Galatia would become like him and reject law-keeping as the means of becoming right with God. Paul was very concerned that they were going to forfeit their salvation. He was concerned that they were going to give up on the truth, and they were going to turn to a human, selfish, man-made way of trying to get right and earn salvation. We must be very careful that false teachers do not come in and sway us to some other way. Paul told them the truth, and they accepted it. But now, they are so easily falling back into keeping the law. There's a lot of places you can run to, because there's a lot of churches that set up all kinds of rules that if you do this and you do that, then everybody looks the same and everybody's the same, and it really doesn't do anything for the heart. It looks right, but in many situations, the heart doesn't change. In verses here, 17 through 20, we see that Paul was so concerned that he was doubting their salvation. How easy it is to go back to the past. How often do we think, oh, times were so good back then, it was so good, but we forget so easily what we were dealing with back then. God brought us out of things. I hope as you go older and older, you grow wiser and you grow in your relationship with the Lord and you leave more and more earthly ways behind. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." We know that the days, so far as the world, is getting worse and worse. We're told that. Why do we look back and long for the days before? Why are we not growing and growing in Jesus and growing in our faith so that the days that are out there that are looking so bleak don't have to look that bleak, because we have Jesus, because we're growing and growing more in him. We know how quickly the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt. You read that and you think, of course, we had the whole picture of what was going to happen, but you look at that and you think, why? Don't they realize what they just came out of? How terrible that was in Egypt? It's because we're a very fickle people, and we so easily tend to live for today. And when things don't go like we think or like we want, we quickly want to go back to the past. It's exactly why we need a closer walk with the Lord. It's exactly why we need to be in His Word daily. It's exactly why we need to be talking with Him each day so that we don't fall into that trap. The way we live is not to earn our salvation. The way we live is because of our love for God. And that's so easy to forget. We do this and we do that because we know that it's the right thing to do. But why do we do it? Lord, help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and do what we do out of a love for Him, not so that we think we're good. The Galatians were so quick to go back to the law to earn their salvation. We want to do what we do out of a love and obedience to God. And when we do that, then we don't feel like we have to set things up to earn our own salvation. Proverbs 26:11 says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." We must be careful. There are so many New Age thinkers out there that'll come up with all kinds of ways that we can get to heaven without Jesus. And if we fall for that thinking, we are doing a selfish way and we are falling back. 2 Peter 2 describes so plainly what we must be careful about. Those coming in, and we don't, in our own subtle way, become like them. It's nothing but heresy, pride, selfishness. It pleases the flesh, but it's anti-God. 2 Peter 2:20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them if they had not known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Consider the people that go back when times get tough, and times will get tough. You will face things in life, but so often, without Christ, the drunkard goes back to drinking. The druggies go back to drugs. Liars go back to lying. Spenders go back to spending. We don't want to go back. We want to go forward. Deuteronomy 15:15 says, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemeth thee," or redeemed thee. Remember what you came from. Not to go back and want to be there, but to remember how terrible things were without a relationship with the Lord. Second Thessalonians 2:14-17. whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle, how our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So when we do something that is good, when we do something that makes us want to feel like we have accomplished something, let us remember God is the one that does the work, and he allowed us to do it, and we need to thank him. True grace alone should comfort our hearts and strengthen us to grow in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have a comfort and a peace in your life, knowing that if you were to die today, it would be okay. Knowing that you don't have to do something else to earn your salvation. Knowing that you have a right relationship with the Lord, he will bring you through. That brings peace and comfort. And then we don't have to run to and fro and try and figure out the next thing to make us feel good. Back to Galatians chapter 4, 17 through 20 there. Paul commends their zeal, but is grieved with the fact that it has recently been misplaced. How quickly our zeal can change to wrong ways if we get focused on our own merits and selfish ways. I'd like to read a few more verses here now, starting in verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bond to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai of Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Paul here uses an allegory to show how we are not part of the law, but have gained a freedom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back in Genesis, we see that God promised Abraham that he'd be a great nation, or there'd be a great nation through him. When it seemed that that wasn't happening, Abraham gave in to Sarah's thought that he should have a child from the servant girl. As we know, this did not play out well. Ishmael was an ordinary birth, and Isaac was a supernatural birth, because Abraham and Sarah were beyond the normal age of bearing children. The birth of Ishmael was according to the flesh. They had their own ideas. They had their own thoughts. They were going to do it their way. But the birth of Isaac was through the promise. Just as there is conflict between Isaac and Ishmael, there's also conflict between law-keeping and simple faith in finding a right standing with God. When we have that simple faith and we trust him and we know that we are his, there's no conflict in our heart. when we are trying to produce that salvation, there is major conflict in our heart because we are falling under the law. We are doing things in man's way of thinking. Paul speaks of two Jerusalems, the Jerusalem which now is, verse 25, and the Jerusalem above, verse 26. At this point, Paul compares the two women to each aspect of Jerusalem. Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and represents the earthly Jerusalem. And Sarah stands for the Jerusalem from above and represents the heavenly city of God. Hagar represents law-keeping. And Sarah represents the New Jerusalem, or grace, freedom in Christ. Verse 27 is quoting Isaiah 54, verse 1, which shows the contrast between the two women. The prophet encourages God's people to rejoice because in the end, she who was barren has many more children than the other. On to verse 28 to the end. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but children of the free. If you are walking with Christ, you are a child of the free woman, unless you fall back into law-keeping. And that's what the Judaizers were promoting. Just as Isaac was supernaturally born, so are we. Just as Isaac was persecuted, so the early Christians were persecuted. Let us live like the free person that God intends for us. That sometimes means persecution. The world's full of people who are sincerely but erroneously convinced that religion is an optional matter and that there are many ways to heaven. There is so much to get zealous about in the world. There's politics. There's earthly possessions. There's worldly things. How about sports? Or even our own ways to Christ. The list goes on, but please remember, our hope is in Christ alone, and we must keep our minds on Him. We must not, we cannot give in to anything other than God's grace to show us to the end. In Christ alone, you will have the victory. Do you feel sometimes like you're not doing anything for Christ? Are you faithful? Are you maybe a mother at home that feels like, I didn't get to witness to anybody today, or days or week. I didn't go out and make something great happen. Maybe you're going to work every day and you feel like you're not quite cutting it. Are you forgetting that you belong to Him? Are you forgetting who you are in Christ? Or are you going to try to create something so that you can make yourself feel good? If we are keeping our eyes on Jesus, if we are remembering who we are in Christ, If we are going about what God has for us each day, and we have a peace in the stormy world, and when somebody approaches you and says, you've got to go to Washington, and you've got to vote, and you've got to go to Bangor, and you've got to be involved in whatever it is out there that makes us feel good, stop and remember, who am I in Christ? And yes, the world is going upside down. And yes, the world will go upside down. And no, that is not my fault if I'm living the way Christ wants me to live. Let us be careful that we don't run to and fro to try to fix the world, and in doing so, lose our souls. I think that Paul was saying here, be careful. Don't run to law, to earthly ways of doing things, to try to prove to yourself that you are his. Remember, we are his because of Christ and because of Christ alone. I would like to close with the following verses. You would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 21. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There we are given some words of counsel, not forsaking ourselves, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and to exhort one another. And one way to exhort one another is to be faithful. Go about the work that God has given you to do, and not try to prove to yourself that you can do something that will earn your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I'd like if we could sing number 134 in closing. And before we do that, let us stand for prayer. Henry, would you have prayer for us, please?
Father, we just come before you this morning. We're so grateful that you rescued us. So grateful that you saw fit to rescue us out of the miry pit of sin, Lord. Freely adopt us into your hand. We just pray, Lord, that you would just build our relationships with you, each relationship that we have with you. That each one here, Lord, fully understand who he is in you. And seek your face and seek your heart to know what you have for him or her. We just thank you so much for the cross. Thank you for the suffering that you did on our behalf. I just pray, God, that you would just teach us, grow us, guide us to be your sons and daughters in this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.